Mike.
Okay, thank you. So we move now to paper number 11, which relates to three sweep issues connected with annual improvements, both the 2010-2012 cycle and the 2011-2013 cycle. Now, the first of these three issues that we have relates to a due process complaint on the proposed amendment to IAS 40. Now, this particular amendment to IAS 40 was about which guidance to look at when distinguishing between whether your acquisition of a group of assets, whether you had a business combination or not, and also whether within that acquisition there was investment property or not. And the proposed amendment that was exposed, we received comments on, and both the Interpretations Committee and yourselves looked at these. And in June of this year, you agreed tentatively to move forward and finalise that particular amendment. Now, the complaint that was received on this matter related to was from one particular respondent to that exposure draft, who felt that their comments on that particular proposed amendment hadn't been understood properly by the staff. They're concerned with misunderstood their comments, and so they wrote to the Due Process Oversight Committee, and that letter is included as an appendix to this particular paper. In particular, they highlighted that their comment letter on the proposed amendment itself highlighted the need for us to consider more globally the consequences of the distinction between an asset purchase and a business combination. Now, we've gone back and had a look at that, and we recognise that one of the that this paragraph or this summary that we had put in to the agenda paper back in May of 2013 had included reference to this particular respondent as having agreed with the proposed amendment, and this is what they took issue with. So what we wanted to ask you was what impact this potentially has on your conclusions relating to this proposed amendment. And so on page 4 of this paper, we ask whether if we had presented these comments from this particular respondent plus several others differently, whether this would have changed your conclusion on whether or not to finalise this particular annual improvement. So can I ask, looking at the question in the box on page 4, if we had presented this differently in response to the comments that we've now received, would you have reached a different decision?
Well, I think we have to really think about this, because this is, if we had stricken out that this particular organization had not agreed with, or had we wrote that they agreed with the proposed amendment, but if we cross it out, does that make us think differently? Yeah. I think this is taking our due process to new heights.
New lows.
But how do we answer this question? Are we going to change our mind?
I wouldn't change my mind.
Yes?
Can I just ask a question? I wouldn't change my mind, but I'm really worried that people who are not happy with the particular decision that we take, it can slow down the process tremendously. Like I think Hans said, it's taking to new heights. I would say it's taking to new lows, because I'm worried that the magnitude of the, okay, it is an inadvertent mistake on the part of the staff, if I understand it correctly, yeah, as against a deliberate misleading or anything like that. I'm just worried tomorrow somebody can send it. It's Business Europe. It's a respectable organization. I respect them a lot. But I'm just saying that some fellow from some corner of the world tomorrow in California will send a letter. How are you going to take it?
It could. I have read the letter. It could not be read, indeed, that they agree.
A question. Is the statement wrong? Were there no respondents who agreed and thought so?
No, this is just the particular extract that this...
some respondents, indeed.
Some, but yes. There were no respondents.
Were there some respondents that agreed with
them? Oh, yes, there were, yes. And the
paragraph... So is the statement right or wrong?
They are mentioned under B, and they this particular organization did not say that it agreed with the proposal.
It was accurate, but it will not change our mind.
They said they welcomed any narrowing of interpretation, but not specifically there. Can I just
apologize for having incorrectly mentioned that?
Just two quick things. And if you're worried about... So, PK, if you're worried about the number of complaints, this is the only complaint we've received in writing in a year.
Okay, good.
Okay, so that's a level. The DPOC, because it's in, they take these things seriously, we thought this is the best way and an open way, and it also provides a signal, again, I think the outcome of this might be a signal to people that something like this you don't need, doesn't justify a complaint potentially. But the other thing is that we are going to be we're running some sessions for the staff about analysing letters, etc. They should only paraphrase where it is absolutely appropriate to paraphrase, and they should not more likely quote.
That can just happen. I don't want the staff to
feel constrained.
Spend even more time on
well, no, they won't be spending more time, but it's easier to just put the quote in there and or else.
Yes, but you know, these mistakes happen. And it has been removed.
Okay. So, is everyone agreed to continue to finalise that amendment?
Okay.
Then, the second and third issues arose from the fatal flaw review that we did of two cycles of annual improvements. And they both relate to proposed amendments where we were proposing to amend or add amendments to the basis for conclusions. One concerning IFRS 1, and where we were proposing to make clear that which standards should be used or could be used when doing a first-time adoption of IFRS. The issue with the IFRS 1 item was that although you felt that the standard itself was clear, there was some conflicting wording in the basis, and therefore you proposed to make an amendment to the basis. With the other issue, issue number 3, again, this was to do with an amendment that had previously been made in connection with the issue of IFRS 13, where we had deleted reference to the application of materiality concept. And again, in this case, you'd concluded that the standard itself was clear, but you wanted to add more explanation to the basis for conclusions. Now, in these two instances, the reviewer was concerned that we were adding guidance to the basis for conclusions and highlighting that the due process handbook makes clear that the basis for conclusion should be used for explaining the basis for the board's decisions and not for including guidance. Having looked at both of these, we don't think that a further amendment is needed for these annual improvements. We think that continuing with the two annual improvements as previously presented to you and as you had originally agreed to finalise is the way that we should continue. And so I wanted to ask if you agreed with those staff recommendations to continue to finalise.